Graham Kemlow was on assignment in Ballarat, Victoria's third largest city this week, and he could not help but notice the changes. One of the state's fastest growing regions, just an hour from Melbourne, Ballarat is coming of age with major new infrastructure, new hotels, sophisticated food and wine offerings, and an enthusiastic hospitality scene. Graham was part of a visit sponsored by Business Events Victoria that included meeting planners and conference organisers. He spoke to the Executive Officer of Business Events Victoria, Adeline Key.
Well, I'm speaking with Adeline Kay. Adeline's the Executive Officer of Business Events Victoria. And the reason I'm talking to her today, which is, Adeline, you don't know this, but you're appearing on the 10th anniversary of Travel Writers Radio, so we're having a little bit of a birthday here. But I've just been away in Ballarat with some other members of your team looking at the business events landscape in a very important city in Victoria. It was the heart of the 1850s gold rush, and so it's got a lot of beautiful old buildings, but it's also got a lot of quite modern options there for people who want to go visit and stay and have a meeting or pull the team together or whatever you choose to do with your organisation. Adeline, thank you very much for joining us here on Travel Writers Radio. How do you perceive Ballarat in terms of its ability to host good size events for people who want to come to Victoria and not have something in the city? Because your brief is really anything outside of the CBD, isn't it?
Yep. It's a pleasure to join you today, and congratulations on the 10th anniversary.
Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Now, Business Events Victoria, we are an industry-led, membership-based body.
Right.
That promotes regional Victoria for conferencing statewide. Although we do receive state government funding to be delivering these services, it was great to have you join us on the Ballarat familiarization for not just yourselves, but certainly having a small group of conference organizers and meeting planners from around the state to join us as well. So we put these sorts of familiarizations on a regular basis to different parts of Victoria, whether it's a regional city like Ballarat that has a good track record of hosting and holding business events in many shapes and forms. And so that was a great 2 days from what I hear.
Yeah, it was great to get away with buyers. The people who spend the money have interesting questions to ask, and a little different to me going away with a group of journalists. We sort of know what each other's going to ask, but when you hear the focus of the people who are intending to spend money in a destination or with a venue or a restaurant or a accommodation for their delegates, it's quite refreshing to hear the things that are important to them. Sometimes they surprise you a little bit.
And that's the reason why we put these sorts of famils up for conference organizers, because it's very much a opportunity that we run every quarterly in the year to be able to bring buyers and meeting planners out into the regions to be able to feel, see, touch and taste all that is on offer. And for us, we work very closely with the regions itself, and in this case for the Ballarat Famil, we worked with City of Ballarat and with our partners in region to be able to put together a program that allows the operators and the venues and the businesses there that are active in the business event space to put their best foot forward.
Well, I mean, it's easy for anybody to look up the internet and see what the venue has, I mean, what sort of numbers it says it caters for, et cetera, et cetera. But there's nothing like eyeballing the GM and asking him a tough question, like how fast can you turn this from a ballroom into a plenary session? And to get an answer, you know, there and then, straight away. So, and I was, there are places there that I have written about, but I haven't been able to get up and see. Just pure time pressure of what we do, as you know. So it was quite refreshing for me to actually walk into venues that I had written about, and I sort of had a sense of what they would be like. But wow, I was blown away by one of the latest developments in Ballarat, which is the reworking of the Ballarat Railway Station precinct. You've obviously seen that. What do you think of it?
Oh, that precinct is probably one of the shining new examples of regional cities that continue to reinvent themselves, not just for conferences and business events, but certainly for local amenities to the local economy.
Sure.
And I've seen the goods shed that's just probably a couple of walking steps away from the train station. So whilst Ballarat is only an hour, just a little over an hour away from Melbourne, it does lend itself to a great proposition for day conference delegates who may want to take the train and public transport into Ballarat and back on the day. But it also provides, that convenience and amenity for others. Now, for ourselves, the work that we do is quite multifaceted. The team does a fair bit of proactive bidding for conferences that do attract decision makers, interstate as well as domestic Victorian decision makers.
Mm.
So there's a bit of that part of the work that we try to proactively source for events that do multi-day conferences. But there's a lot of organic activity that happens in any case with day conference and day workshops itself. The train precinct is really a great addition to the city itself that, you know, has a conference, a state-of-the-art conference facility just a stone's throw away, as well as accommodation nearby.
Yeah, there's the relatively new Quest Hotel there, and it's a I don't know if there's an upmarket versus a regular Quest. It certainly, to me, seemed to be a really good product. It had wide corridors, the rooms were nice, it was airy and light, and there were even sort of lounge areas on each floor where you could have had a quick gathering of the troops. But that's only steps away from the Goodshed. The Goodshed is, I think it's 160 years old, if I remember correctly, and it used to be where the trains pulled in to offload their cargo of whatever sort. And there were three platforms, so three railway lines running through this shed. Well, they've obviously stopped the trains, but the beautiful bluestone building's still there, and the big wooden doors were there. And so you've got a multi-use facility, plus all of this outdoor area is pretty impressive for public events for the city of Ballarat.
It is an iconic new venue indeed, and you're exactly right, Graham, because the history and the heritage behind these regional cities that welcome and host business events, and that's one of the real attractions for people coming out to the regions, and that's the work that we do in bringing conferences out to the regions and be able to showcase the history and the heritage and all the unique offerings into it. So you would have experienced on the Famil over the 2 days itself with the Goods Shed, with Mercure Ballarat, with Sovereign Hill, and you did a bit of truffle hunting from what I
we
hear.
We did. That was amazing. Yeah.
And yeah, so it's not about the bricks and mortar. It's not just about the state-of-the-art conferencing facilities, because four walls, it's really just four walls. And the whole attraction is being part of being able to really experience, the stories behind the regional cities and the regional areas that conference delegates are in, that sense of place, that sense of storytelling, to be able to learn something about where they are. So that's really one of the real attractions.
Yeah, that's
conferencing in regional Victoria.
I think people do love a good story, a reason to be somewhere. And Ballarat certainly has that if you only consider the gold. But there's also, the Eureka Stockade occurred in Ballarat as a sort of Australia's first revolution, I think it probably could be described as. And that's a whole other world. And yeah, we saw a lot of fabulous facilities up there. And I would say that the facilities themselves are the equal of what you'd find in the city. The hotels are great. The food, the wine, the sort of the ambiance of the place is a different pace about the city of Ballarat. than the rat race in Melbourne by comparison, I guess. So, yeah, and all the delegates that I spoke to, our conference organisers and, you know, the buyers, I suppose I'd call them in a broad collective, they were pretty impressed, I must say, with what they saw, surprised and impressed, as indeed I was.
Yes, that's great to hear. We know that the business events sector, nationally in particular, the landscape is a competitive one. So we try to make sure at every turn of the quarter to have something that, you know, we're able to bring qualified buyers and qualified meeting planners who are looking forward over their 6 month to 18 month event calendaring to be able to see what's on offer and feed into their review and consideration for where to host their next conference, workshop, incentive program. So this is really what we try to, and that's our remit really as Business Events Victoria. We know that the sector itself supports over 3,000 regional jobs annually, and that's spread across regional Victoria. The sector itself injects more than $475 million to the economy throughout the state. And that probably is, you know, the ongoing part of the work that, as part of our remit to disperse and assist event organizers to be able to point them to the most suitable locations and to be able to point them to the latest highlights and the latest and greatest, so to speak.
I was impressed with what we saw, even down to the last venue we visited was a beautiful Victorian, used to be a house. It's now a magnificent boutique hotel called Hotel Vera, and that it's a sister product to the one in Bendigo called Hotel Ernest. Both these names come from the owner's grandparents, which is a nice tip of the hat to their forebears. But we had a beautiful degustation dinner. I think it would hold its own anywhere in the country, and also a magnificent setting. When you walk into this Victorian building, you expect to see it, you know, in its Victorian splendour, which is wonderful. But you suddenly step through a door and they have done the most magnificent renovation. The quality is just incredible. And so that, to me, is a potential sort of a team-gathering exercise for your senior executive team. If you've got six or seven people in the team, you could have a suite each, and they will make the space for you. They will cook for you. You can buy the whole place out. They'll even accept your pet. If you want to bring a pet, they do that too. But it's obviously a big opportunity for people to go somewhere different, to experience something quite unique. It's unlike any hotel that you would find with a brand name hanging off the front door. So a very unique experience, and both the owners were there and were sort of caring for us, explaining the meal, the wine, the whatever. And we only had a short time with them, but that was really, for all of us on that particular visit, I think it really capped off the whole experience, saying Ballarat can do almost anything that you want to do. So you must feel quietly confident about sending almost anybody to this city.
And yeah, that's fantastic to hear. And that's one of the great reasons for us collaborating with our partner city of Ballarat in putting together not just, you know, a great program over 2 days, and to hear, you know, just from the horse's mouth itself. And I'm sure we've already had quite a lot of great feedback from the rest of the participants on this FAMIL. And the whole idea is really to be able to inspire inspiration. And you've hit the nail on the head, Graham, that just being able to step through the doors and hear a bit about that storytelling and hear a bit about that history, and to come face to face and interact with business owners that are really wanting to just share a piece of their history and you know, their pride in their own business and within the local community in their own regional city with visitors as well as with conference delegates. So that's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it was a good trip all round, and I would say it augurs well for Ballarat. Do you keep particular statistics on, you did give us some on the regions, but what number of events would you say business events would you say Ballarat might host in a year?
Well, Ballarat is among, obviously, the top and the largest regional, among the largest regional cities around the state itself. So last financial year, as a top line picture, we have the team itself has dispersed more than 230 event lead opportunities throughout regional Victoria. And within that financial year, we had also secured 152 of those events. Now, more than 15% of that went to the Goldfields region. Obviously, Ballarat is within the Goldfields region.
Well, Bendigo is the sister city there, isn't it?
Yes, and so that's a fairly big proportion out of the rest of the region itself. So within that picture itself, and just looking at this year, we have dispersed more than 60 event leads to the Goldfields region as a whole in this financial year. But so far, it's good to see that about five events have been secured specifically for Ballarat venues. I'm sure that, you know, out of those, you would have visited the majority of them, including Federation University, including McCure Ballarat, the RACV Goldfields, and of course the Good Shed and Ballarat Function Centre. So really the choices in the pickings in a major regional city like Ballarat.
I know from just conversations I had around the table, or as we were in our little minibus tootling around, there are some serious opportunities there from the buyers that attended with me. There are some serious opportunities for events over the next 12 to 18 months. Well, is that your lead time? It would be as far out as 18 months on most of these business events?
With the larger association conferences and association meetings, that would be pretty much a standard timeline, 12 to 18 months.
Right.
Having said that, there are a lot of smaller meetings that happen, not just in the association sector, but also in the corporate sector, smaller executive retreats, board meetings, leadership team meetings, planning meetings. Those sorts of do take place with a much shorter lead time.
Right.
And so the team itself is quite adept to be able to meet those requirements. But yeah, we work with event requirements anywhere from 2 weeks lead time right up to 18 months.
Wow, 2 weeks, that must get you jiving.
It does. It keeps us on our toes, Graham.
Well, that's good. Well, look, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate the opportunity to go and do these site inspections and experiences with a group of your I suppose you'd call them potential clients. And it was a nice to get out of the city for a couple of days, even though it got quite warm up there. But often they complain about Ballarat being a bit cold. We certainly didn't experience that side of it, but it was most enjoyable. I just want to thank you and your team for putting it together and for having me along. It was terrific.
Thank you for joining us, Graham. It was a pleasure to be able to have you come along.
Graham Kemlow speaking there with the Executive Officer of Business Events Victoria, Adeline Key. For more information, look up businesseventsvictoria.com.
This is the Travel Writer Show on J-Air 88 FM in Melbourne. Well, Helen, we ran a bit tight for space last week on your story about the safari in Africa, but I thought that probably important to revisit it this week, since we were talking about a short safari that you could undertake as a day tripper from Johannesburg if you wanted, because only 2.5 hours from Johannesburg is Sun City. Now, I happen to have been there, Helen, not for a few years, 2009 or 10 I was there. Tell us about your perspective on this opportunity for those who perhaps want to do a safari but can't afford the long one, the distant one.
Well, as you said, Sun City is about 2.5 hours from Joburg. I have never been there before, so I was really interested to see it because I have obviously seen mentions of it and stories of it and pictures of it before, and it always, for some reason, reminds me of Indiana Jones. It just has that kind of a look of as the vegetation is eating up this once great temple, but it is still great, I have to say. It was surprisingly elegant and quite beautiful inside. Built in 1979, just northwest of Joburg, it has a lot of things going for it. It's built in an old volcano crater. So it's very green. You look around and there's like mountains and so much vegetation. And of course you've got Polanisberg National Park. It actually runs along the border of this park. So you have all the animals right there on the doorstep, pretty much literally. And even when you walk around the property, you've got mongoose. I'm not sure what the plural of mongoose is in, maybe mongooses, but they're such cute little things. And of course you get monkeys as well. If you want to play golf, you've got two world-class golf courses, one of them designed by Gary Player. For something for the kids to do, it's pretty impressive. Come out from Joburg, do a safari in one of their safari vehicles, then go and hang out in the Waves so you can surf if you want to. It's huge, Valley of the Waves. And then, of course, you can go and watch lions and zebras and lions and everything else like that. It's really, really incredible. And, of course, if you want romance, the rooms are really impressive. I stayed in the Palace of the Lost City. The rooms were incredibly beautiful, I must say. And you could go out in the veranda and look at the trees and listen to the monkeys and look over the pool, massive pool. So if you're one of those people who loves a good resort, this one is one. But if you want to go back to Joburg, you can. So, Graham, the safaris themselves, I couldn't believe how many animals we saw. It's a lot different to the one I did at Sungulwani, which is more of a boutique private game reserve. Yeah. This feels a bit more mainstream. The roads are busier. Like if you had your Mazda there, you could drive that through the park. So you come into traffic and sometimes you have to wait to see whatever the animal sighting is. So it doesn't have that you've got this secret place to yourself kind of feel, but it's also so accessible. So it has that going for it. And, you know, for, as you said, a family who's maybe going to visit Cape Town, or parents are going on a wine tasting trip, or they want to do the garden route or something like that, this is a great addition. And what's your favourite animal when you're on safari?
Oh, look, I never got to see the leopard. So, I mean, would love to see the leopard, but I enjoyed the elephants and I did shoot. That doesn't sound good. With my camera, no. I did yes. shoot a lion, and then I got a note from the particular safari park that I'd been to that this lion was killed by his son. I think that happens in the Lion City. So I felt a bit sad, but I've still got the lion's photograph sitting on my wall here, and I think it might be on a website somewhere. We got really close to this lion. He obviously was full of McDonald's, which is the small deer-type animals out there. He put up with me firing my nick on at him. It was good. I really enjoyed it.
We saw quite a few rhino. We saw a lot of elephant. Yep. Some of them close. There was a big herd of them, a couple of hundred meters away on the top of this beautiful green hill, and they had some babies, which was lots of oohs and ahs and aw in the truck. That was great. Mm. Lots of zebra, some wildebeest. We didn't see a leopard, didn't see a cheetah, but we were only out there for a very short amount of time. So for an hour, I think we were there.
You did well.
We saw a lot. Mm. And I can say I saw a lion, but not most of it, just maybe a little bit of its ear. But it was hiding behind a bush.
So, well, you saw the babies too, the cubs somewhere.
Well, that was at Sungulwani, so you know what, I was spoilt all around. But right. It was really impressive just how close to Sun City, which is, you know, it has a bit of a Gold Coast vibe because it's got the casinos.
Yeah.
It's a big convention centre. There's pretty much everything there. If you don't want to play in the water park, you can go through the maze, and there's shopping and pretty much everything you want to do. So it does have a good weekend vibe or a day trip vibe if you want to do it.
Yeah, I was hand feeding elephants at Sun City. Do they still do that? A bag of peanuts and you literally,
I don't think so,
stick them in their mouth.
I don't think you can, you know, that's sort of the thing to do these days.
Okay. A bit PC, no, is it? Not PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not PC, no. Yeah.
Okay.
But I can't say for sure because we didn't, you know, we weren't there for that long. But no, I reckon it's a really good thing to do from Joburg, and Joburg's such a great city. But if you want to go out for a weekend or something, join all the South Africans because that's where they go, and you can have a bit of everything.
That's lions, if you can.
Giraffe, zebra, all of them.
If you can drag yourself away from the Stellenbosch wineries.
Well, yes, yes.
You know,
this is true.
On that trip that I went on, they took us for an olive oil tasting. And after the first glass of olive oil, I couldn't taste anything else. I thought it was a complete waste of time. But
oh, dear.
I put up with it just, you know, for being polite. But I've never done anything so silly in my whole life.
No, I don't think I'd be doing one of those. But I tell you what, when you go to South Africa, it is such an amazing country to visit, and it's such good value. Honestly, the food and the wine that we came across is so it's cheap for us.
Yeah.
Like even cocktails here, I mean, I'm not really a big cocktail drinker, but they're like $20-$25 here. Over there, like they're $6 to $8. And they've got amazing wine. And again, it's you don't pay much for it. One of my guides, the beautiful Sam from Adventure World, because I was on an Adventure World trip, she gave me all the tips on great South African gin. And again, incredible world-class gin. And you're not paying too much for it. Whereas in Australia, you know, get ready to break out the big bucks for some of the good wines. So, you know, you can go to South Africa and you're not going to spend too much on the ground because it really is good value for money.
Right. Now, just one other thing I wonder whether we should quickly chat about. When you left Sydney, you wrapped your case in the plastic wrap that's available there, didn't you?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
We were advised to do that because Joburg has a bit of a reputation. I don't know whether it's warranted or not. I'm guessing so. For some of the baggage handlers taking a liking to some of your things. So
I think you put that really well.
Yeah, so they wrap you wrap your suitcase, but all of us felt bad about it because it's just all that plastic.
Mm.
And you know what? It was really hard to get off the bag. But coming home, I did not do it. None of us did. And none of us had anything taken. So maybe things have improved. But if you see people wrapping their bags, that's why.
Right. Airport tax, so to speak.
Yes. You can. Okay. Somebody even was saying they had bras stolen at one point. It's like, Well, you know, obviously you're not going to take your best things, best jewellery, your best anything, because if you're going on safari, what's the point?
Mm.
You know?
Absolutely.
Just pack light because it's really not cold or anything. And I didn't have any problems whatsoever. So
good to hear,
maybe
Helen.
Maybe it's something that's not necessarily going forward. Hopefully not.
Helen Hayes there, who've recently returned from a very memorable South African safari trip.